Hi again. I promise I won't talk about hormones anymore. Immediate regret. If you want to take out your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to Ecclesiastes 2, that's a passage that this morning. And as you're turning to it, it's good to reflect and interesting to reflect that we're lucky we can even be reading scripture like this morning. Ecclesiastes actually almost didn't make it into scripture. In the first century, in around 90 AD, they actually held a council to discuss whether Ecclesiastes should be included in the Bible, and there was a group of Jewish people who believed it shouldn't be, that it raised too many doubts. It contains this kind of underlying cynicism and negativity towards life, and it just kind of had contradicting ideas in it, and it was very different to all the other traditional Jewish wisdom literature. So I'm grateful that we have such a kind of peculiar book included in our scriptures, and it's kind of testimony to how diverse our scripture really is. We're not going to conquer this book, as with any scripture, but I think if we prayerfully kind of pay attention to this to scripture, especially this scripture, we'll be able to locate both God and ourselves in the midst of it. So chasing the smoke, that's what we're talking about today in Ecclesiastes 2, our passage. Just firstly though, do we have any list people in here? People who just love writing lists just so you can check them off? Yeah, a few of you? Can anyone relate to that unbeatable satisfaction of ticking off the last thing on a list? Yeah, quite a few of you. Not me, I think lists are dumb, but but Zara freaking loves lists. She only ever writes super important things on her list as well. The first thing she puts on her list is always write a list. So she ticks that one off immediately. Sometimes I see her do something that's not even on her list, and then she adds it to her list so she can tick it off again as well. Yeah, and when we head away on trips, and this has been happening since we were teenagers, before we were even dating, I was on a camp bazaar, and she had her notebook out, and she had all her lists of all the things she needed for the trip, and it's just 16-year-old Matthew was blown away. She had diagrams of all the different clothing combinations she was going to wear at the camp. She had drawn each individual clothing item out. Yeah, including socks as well, which is weird. Sometimes... Oh, you're back. Oh, whoops. Yeah. Sometimes I find lists she's written for me, lists that I didn't even know existed. Very wishful thinking lists that say things like, Matt's list, visit Zara at work today, deliver Zara flowers, buy Zara a surprise puppy, which is obviously ridiculous. I would never buy her flowers. So. But what we have today in Ecclesiastes 2 is essentially a list. It's a list of all the things that this author has done to try and find meaning in life. It's a list of Hebel, you remember the word that Elliot talked about last week? It's a list of things this character in Ecclesiastes has done to try and find meaning in, but have turned out to be meaningless smoke, vapor, and chasing the wind. We hear that he surveyed or turned to or looked to all the things he had done and declared them what? Hebel. He had just been chasing smoke. And a summarized list of what our friend tried to find meaning in is as follows. Pleasure, substance abuse, like it says wine, but I assume it could mean other destructive substances like drugs or Lewis Road chocolate milk. Making cool stuff like houses, vineyards, and gardens, owning animals, owning people, being better and more powerful than everyone else, working really hard, hoarding, and generally trying to enjoy life. But guess what this all was? Habal, smoke, all this time spent chasing smoke. And what's even more concerning is this doesn't even seem like it's an exhaustive list. He says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Not even the fulfillment of our desires can be trusted. The things we think we want turn out to be fleeting. The things we think will give us joy and fulfillment end up making us desire even more. David Foster Wallace, a famous writer, had almost the exact same revelation as our character here in Ecclesiastes. He too felt he was well practiced in the art of smoke chasing. And he said these things at a university commencement speech months before he tragically took his own life. An outstanding reason for choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap into real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, then you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. Worship power and you'll feel weak and afraid, and you'll need ever more power over others to keep the fear at bay. Worship your intellect, and being seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Our lives are absurd. That's all for today. Coffee in the foyer. Mark, do you want to come pray? No, but there is an absurdity to life. We spend so much of our time chasing the meaningless. And our character in Ecclesiastes is having this revelation himself. In the Message version, it reads, I tried my level best to penetrate the absurdity of life. And his efforts to try and encounter this absurdity in life only end up making it more absurd. And we in the West, we like to think we've made more sense of the world and that we live a less absurd life than everyone else. But as novelist Walker Percy notes, we in the West live even more absurdly than anywhere else. She says, we live in a deranged age, more deranged than usual. Because despite great scientific and technological advances, man has not the faintest idea of who he is or what he is doing. We chase after things that don't carry any weight. We try and find meaning in the meaningless, wisdom in foolishness, eternal in the finite, immaterial in the material, significance in the insignificant, worth from what holds no value, and direction from lostness. We live absurd lives chasing smoke. In 2009, there was an atheist bus campaign run in Great Britain by an author called Richard Dawkins. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were invested into bus billboards with profound atheist slogans on them. And even the Humanist Society here in New Zealand tried to run it as well, but couldn't find a bus company that would agree to have it. And the signs they had on these buses read, there probably is no God, stop worrying and enjoy your life. There's a thousand things I could say about this, but doesn't this just betray the problem in the very first place? Have we not tried to enjoy our life and stop worrying without God? and realized it hasn't worked. Isn't that what we hear in our chapter today in Ecclesiastes? Isn't that David Foster Wallace's experience of life? We've tried trying to find meaning and enjoyment in life without God, and it doesn't work. It turns out to be Hebel chasing smoke. Really, the very fact we can't find enjoyment in life and the fact we can't satisfy our desires points us to God, not away from Him. C.S. Lewis says this: if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And here I don't think C.S. Lewis means this in an escapist way. I think he's recognizing what's said in the next chapter of Ecclesiastes, that God has set eternity on our hearts, that our desires transcend, they go far beyond what this world has to offer. But no one wants to live a life chasing smoke. We want to invest our lives into something that carries weight. We have an innate desire to pursue that which is meaningful. Early last year, the Mars One project took in 200,000 applications for a one-way trip to Mars, where if selected, people would leave their whole life behind without the prospect of ever returning home. They were essentially volunteering to die on a different planet. And when people were interviewed about why they might want to do this, the response was largely this: that people wanted to give their lives to something. That people wanted to invest into something that's meaningful, something that holds weight. We have a desire to pursue that which is meaningful. But I think what Ecclesiastes ultimately suggests, and this chapter ultimately suggests, is that we are made for more than smoke chasing, that God has set eternity onto our hearts. We are made and desired to live our lives by something that holds weight. We need a big, true story to shape our lives. And what if true meaning and weight is found in relationship to God through Christ? But we struggle with this in our culture because we have taken God's role of giving meaning to our lives and made it our own role. We've taken God's role of giving meaning to our lives and we've made it our own. And that's why I think today our biggest cultural smoke, our smoke chasing, the biggest thing our culture struggles with is that we create our own meaning and our own identity. And I just want to spend a bit of time explaining what I mean by this. Over summer, Zara and I went up to Cambridge in the North Island for a conference about the gospel and culture. And there was a really great pastor who spoke, Sarah Deutscher from a church called Red Church in Melbourne. And she presented this super interesting research about what makes for healthy communities. And she was saying that healthy communities acknowledge three stories. So firstly, we have my story. This is where identity is found. Things like what you look like and what your experience of life is. Secondly, we have our story. This is our collective story, as in your family, your culture, your school, your friends, the story of New Zealand. And lastly, we have the big story. And for us here, that's God's grand story. And this gives us a sense of transcendence and going beyond. This is what a healthy community, according to this research, should look like, having these three stories interacting with each other. But here's the problem we have today, and if you don't pay attention to anything of what I said, please pay attention to this because I think it's really important, especially for engaging our culture. This is the problem we have today. Our culture has killed the big story and our story So we're left trying to find transcendence and meaning from my story and my identity. That's true, right? Our individual culture, our individualist culture, has no interest in our story, and our post-religious culture has no interest in the big story, and now all identity, meaning, and transcendence comes from us and what we create. So now things like social media, the clothes we wear, the way we present ourselves, the jobs we have, our social status, or what we tell other people our social status is, all become tools of crafting meaning and transcendence for ourselves and to convince others of our value. And if you want to get in trouble in today's culture, then just try and stop someone from constructing their own identity. This is why our culture's top values are tolerance and being non-judgmental, so people can construct their own identity. And it's no wonder that our young people are more insecure than ever before. They have no connection to our story or the big story, and they think they have to construct value and meaning all by themselves. But is not the author of Ecclesiastes saying you can't find meaning and significance and transcendence and value and worth by yourself? It's almost like this book was inspired by God or something. Our culture says, if you want to know who you are, look inside yourself. But Christianity's radical approach to identity is that you're named not from the inside, but from the outside. That your identity and value and meaning isn't something that you come up with, but is an objective truth and is a gift that has been given to us. If you feel you have to create your own meaning and identity, no, you don't have to, and if you do, you will just be chasing the smoke. Know that you can find transcendence in the one who gives your identity. Know that you don't have to create who you are because you're already created. You just are significant. You don't have to create that for yourself. In fact, my friend Matt Stott would say that we exist because we are significant. That's why God created us. We all have unchangeable value, purpose, and significance. Your identity just is. It's not something you create. You are someone created, loved, and cared for by Christ. True meaning, real weight, is found in relationship with God revealed in Christ, not from chasing smoke. Let's finish with a song before we wrap things up today.